Hello, this is Lauren Chang, Managing Editor of Competition Policy International. On May 24, 2012, the European General Court confirmed the European Commission's 2007 decision prohibiting MasterCard's multilateral interchange fees. The Commission had determined that the fees violated EU competition law. To discuss the Court's reasoning and the effects of the decision is Professor Richard Schmalensee. Richard is the Howard W. Johnson Professor of Economics and Management at MIT, Dean Emeritus of the MIT Sloan School of Management, and Director of the MIT Center for Energy and Environmental Policy Research. He's the co-author of Paying with Plastic, has published several articles on interchange fees and payment systems, and is CPI's Editorial Board Chairman. Hi, Dick. We're so happy you could join us today.
A great pleasure.
So to start, was the court's decision a surprise?
Not really. The courts in the EU have said that they can't do complex economic analysis and have to defer to the Commission. So when the Commission said that a number of critical points here involved complex economic analysis, there basically couldn't be any really effective judicial review. The parties did appeal on various procedural grounds, which the court could review. But the fact that it found the Commission's economics couldn't be reviewed, it was, I think, largely a foregone conclusion.
So what do you think of the economic analysis?
Well, I think there are at least three basic problems. First, the Commission and the Court, in effect, ignored all of the economic writing on payment systems, and I mean all of the economic writing on payment systems that talk about the interchange fee as a balancing device in this two-sided market, and a balancing device aimed at increasing the use of this efficient electronic payment system. So they ignored that and analyzed the market through inappropriate lenses. The second puzzling aspect, I guess, is, you know, I read the decision and I realized they have to find that MasterCard setting this price restricted competition. And having not read the original Commission decision, I wondered how they were going to do that. And they said it restricted competition because interchange sets a floor on the merchant discount. But of course, if that's a restriction on competition, and that restricted competition among retailers, but if that's a restriction on competition, then every wholesale price is a restriction on competition. If you think about this as a wholesale price being charged to acquirers who then basically pass it on to merchants, then a wholesale price for shoes restricts competition among shoe retailers. It's a very odd test. The third strange aspect is the MasterCard and various banks said if you eliminate interchange fees, which this decision seems to do, you're doing price regulation. And of course, that's obvious on its face. It's requiring an interchange fee, a price of zero, which is no different conceptually from requiring a price of a penny or a negative penny. The court said, no, that's not price regulation. That's eliminating a price, which is angels on the head of a pin, not economics.
And what will be the consequences for our merchants and consumers?
Well, that's not really hard. Credit cards are going to become less attractive to consumers because issuing banks will find them less attractive to issue because their revenue stream will be down. So one way or another, various fees will be increased, rewards down, interest rates up, and fewer credit cards will be issued and used. The elimination of debit, or at least the reduction and maybe the elimination of debit interchange, is going to raise the cost to consumers of demand deposits via increases in various fees. Again, this is basic economics. You've reduced a source of income to banks and from demand deposits, and so they're going to have to adjust accordingly. In the U.S., predictably by a dropping free checking for a lot of low-income consumers. I don't know what will happen in Europe, but in any case, consumers will pay both by having credit cards less attractive and debit cards or demand deposits less attractive. And in the short run, this is not a big change in merchants' costs. So you don't expect prices to come down immediately, and merchants will have a short-run windfall. Not a long-run windfall, because prices move around and adjust, but the short-run windfall to merchants could be quite substantial.
Why didn't MasterCard's IPO prevent it from being considered an association of undertakings?
This I really read closely, because you recall MasterCard used to be jointly owned by its member banks, and its IPO basically made its stock publicly traded and made it responsible not to its bank members but to its shareholders. So one might have thought that a firm that's a publicly traded corporation couldn't be considered an association of undertakings, that is to say, a group of firms acting together. But MasterCard did two things. One thing is obvious. It took into account the interests of issuing banks. Well, it would have been crazy, no matter what it was maximizing, not to do that. They're important customers on one side of the market. But it also gave issuing banks some decision-making authority, not over interchange fees, but over some aspects of its operation. And both of those were enough for the commission to say that's not an ordinary standalone firm, which wouldn't be subject to this sort of regulation. It's an association of undertakings.
And lastly, do you have any advice you can share for MasterCard?
Well, in the short run, I think it's learned to live with this. In the medium run, in a way, what MasterCard ought to do, and for that matter, what Visa ought to do, is make the IPO real. That is to say, stop acting like a joint venture of issuing banks and start acting like American Express. There's no reason why American Express has banks that issue its cards. It doesn't have interchange. It doesn't have, to my knowledge, banks sitting on committees that make decisions. There's no reason why MasterCard can't go down that same road. That is to say, talk to its issuers, of course. Don't have them make any decisions, full stop. Take their interests into account. Second, don't have interchange. You can't have interchange. The commission doesn't say you can't have contracts with issuers that subsidize issuing, and it doesn't say you can't charge fees to acquiring banks. American Express, as far as I know, and Diners Club do both of those. It's perfectly legal. It replicates the effect of having an interchange fee. It's always been a mystery to me why MasterCard and Visa cling to the concept of interchange, which is so politically vulnerable and so economically unnecessary.
And thanks so much for taking the time to share your insights with us. It's been a real pleasure.
Pleasure for me.